You for this day. We're grateful for the word. We're grateful for the power in the word. And now, Lord, as we take just a moment to hear from you, may it change us. And may that change touch the lives of someone else. We thank you for what you are going to do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Several weeks ago, we started a series on relationships, family, and marriage. And our first message had to do with we are made in the image of God. And God pronounced that everything that he made was very good, including you. Do you believe that? God created everything very good, including you. So should we have self-esteem issues when we are made in the image of God? No, we shouldn't, but some of us do. We talked about several weeks ago that it's difficult to establish healthy relationships when we don't feel good about ourselves. And our thematic verse that we used, and we just would like for you to turn there, is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, just so that you can remember this passage. Starting at verse 37, the Gospel of St. Matthew, and starting at verse 37, I'm going to start reading while you're turning there. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with one half of your heart." Okay, I was checking to see if you were asleep. "No, all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." Sounds like God wants all of us, doesn't it? God doesn't like us to be half-hearted Christians. I thought I'd get one amen off of that. Joe, would you say amen for me? Thank you. No, God wants us to give all of ourselves to him. Amen? Everything. This, the Bible says, is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor, and it stops right there. Oh, you're following me today. No, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Then the next week, we talked about how the Bible established relationships. And the Bible established relationships through the institution called marriage. Now, I recognize that not everyone is married. Not everyone desires to be married. In fact, God has given some the gift where they don't need to be married. Their mission is of such that they can make it okay. But still, relationship, the institution of marriage creates relationships, creates children, families of all kinds. And we said that marriage is about oneness because God is about oneness. But then sin entered into this world, we talked about the last time, and sin came into our world and caused separateness. And that became the norm. And so today we see separateness between male and female. We see men who don't like women and women who do not like men. That's not God's ideal. Amen? That is not the way God would have it. God is in to oneness. And in fact, when he joined Adam and Eve together, they came together and they became one flesh. A mystery, but one flesh just the same. Oneness is who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one God. Amen? And that's how we address God, in his oneness. After sin, we found Adam and Eve in the garden trying to hide behind fig leaves. That's funny, isn't it? You can't hide behind a fig leaf. But you know, we still, because of sin, have separateness today in couples, married couples. I'd like for you to just share with me what you think might be some things that separate couples. Anybody? What would separate a married couple? What could... Divorce. Yes. No one said that in the first service. Good. Work. What else? Money. Who said money? Where is that? Great. Money. That's great separator. What else? Non-communicative? That's right. Non-communicative. What else could separate? What? Selfishness. Someone said children? Friends? The devil? Yes, absolutely. That's the big separator right there. What did you say? Somebody said teenagers. Oh, cheating. Yes, sorry, teenagers. I heard that wrong. Okay? That didn't fit. Okay? Thank you. That was, someone mentioned that, Stella, in the first service. Religion, surprisingly, that ought to bring people together. But religion, improperly used, pulls people apart, unfortunately. You know what one source, you're going to be surprised by, this is a major separator, according to some social scientists. Snoring. That's right, snoring. So if you have a snoring problem, go see the doctor and get your sinuses fixed. Especially if you're the one who is awake. Amen? Surprising. It's a major separator. Because one has to go into a separate room. I'm surprised by that, but that's true. It's a truth. Today I'd like to spend a few moments connecting. This is Communion Sabbath, and I'd like to connect communion and marriage. In fact, you might find it hard to believe that they tie in, especially since communion is about the bread, the body of Christ, and his spilled blood, the grape juice or the wine, and the table where we all sit together as one. But guess what the Lord's first miracle was? Changing water into wine, where at? At a wedding. You know, I know that, and you know that. That's a simple, any of you, if we asked that on a Bible trivia, everybody in here would get that right. Everybody knows the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. But we just don't think about that his first miracle, someone said that Jesus had 7 miracles before the crucifixion, and this was his very first at a wedding. I want you to turn, if you would, to John, the 2nd chapter. If you'll turn there very quickly. In the interest of time, I'm going to move swiftly. I know we have communion today. John chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. This is John chapter 2. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." And I'm going to stop there. Woman was a term of endearment in his day. Jesus was not being flippant at his mother. He was being very respectful. In fact, he used that same word when he was on the cross. Woman, it was a respectful tone. He was, in essence, saying, I've just started my ministry. He did. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He says, don't rush things. It'll be all right. That's in essence what he was saying. And he says, and his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, 120 to 180 gallons of water were contained. So Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. He filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And he took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good until now. Verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What a miracle. You may not think so. We tend not to think about it. But you know what makes this miracle so unique? One commentary said was shrouded in silence. You know, often Jesus would, when he would perform a miracle, he would use spit, he would use clay, he would lay on hands. In fact, in one instance, the centurion said, just speak to my servant, and everything will be all right. You don't need to come to the house. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. But in this instance, we don't have anything else to go on in this miracle. In fact, one commentator said this, and I think they may have been on target. The water knew that it was the Lord, and blushed. Y'all didn't get that. No, we have nothing where Jesus said, water turn into wine. He just told them to draw it from the pot. And they took it out and took it to the master, and it was good grape juice. Amen. It was not fermented. Oh, help me. I had to say that. I had to get that in there. I forgot that in the first service. It was great juice. And never tasted anything like it. That's a sign of divinity. That is the power of God's presence. I believe there's a message there. A message that has to do with marriage, believe it or not. I believe that no wedding or marriage is complete if God is not there. You see, we spend a lot of money and a great deal of time on one day and ignore the fact that marriage is about a lifetime. When you look at this passage about a wedding, the wedding at Cana, it really doesn't talk about, it's the bride and groom's day. But we don't even know who they are. It mentions the bridegroom, says nothing about the bride. At least could have put their names down. Says nothing. I believe that's intentional because even though it appears that the bride and groom are the most important,
Jesus is the most important.
I believe that the message is that to know and to love God should be our chief concern first. If you're talking about getting married, make sure that you know God first. Make sure the person that you're marrying knows God. Amen? Critical. Sin causes separation. But what we need in our marriages is Jesus. You know what I like about this message? That Jesus works a miracle. He is the solution to whatever ails us, even in marriage. And one thing that I want you to get from this, I wouldn't have expected Jesus for his first miracle to be at a wedding. You know why? They're having fun. Oh, now I know. Be honest with you? Some of us are afraid of fun. And you don't like the fact that Jesus did his first miracle at a wedding. A lot of talking. You know, it's kind of rambunctious. A lot of conversation, good cheer, handshaking, back snapping. Why is Jesus there? He can't be there. They're having fun. I've even met people who thought Jesus never smiled. You know, I've met people like that. That said, Jesus, how could you go to a wedding and not smile? I'm glad Jesus was there. How about you? First miracle at a wedding. And in fact, even stranger is the fact, you know where Jesus had just come from? Matthew chapter 4, don't turn there, you can go to read in your spare time. Jesus had just come from the wilderness with all of the temptations. And the next place he came was a wedding. You know what that tells me about Jesus? Jesus is present at some of the strangest places. In fact, you'd be surprised where Jesus goes. Oh, I know that's controversial there. You'll be surprised. Do you know when you read the Bible, Jesus was in a tent? Let them build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. We see Jesus in a tent. You know, you see Jesus in a furnace? Three Hebrew worthies. Who would have expected to see Jesus in a furnace? He shows up at some strange places. How about Jesus in the den of lions? How do you think Daniel got out of there? Jesus shows up at some strange places. How about Jesus in a stable as a baby? How about Jesus at the tomb of his friend, Lazarus? So why not at a wedding? Why not at a wedding? Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Isaiah 43:1-3, "And he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine, and when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the river, they shall not overflow you, and when you walk through the fire, not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Do you know that God loves you? Do you know God wants to be in all of the corners of your life? Not just here on Sabbath. Do you know God goes to work with you? Y'all looking at me mighty strange. Do you know when you go play basketball on whatever day, do you know God is there?
Oh, I know you. No,
I never heard that, Pastor. Do you know God is interested in all of your life? Students, do you know God goes to school with you? God is interested. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God is interested in all of you. Well, how do you know God is present? Pastor, how do you know God is present at a marriage, at a wedding? You've been to weddings. How do you know God's there? Good question. If you look at chapter 2 and that first couple verses, interesting, it says that they were invited. That's all you need to do is just invite God to your wedding. Pastor, where's Pastor Marafa? We do of, I don't do as much, but in the chaplaincy, we did a lot of marital counseling. For Marines, it became mandatory. And they would come reluctantly. After spending all this time and effort in getting ready for the wedding, we're hard-pressed to give people just a little counseling when it's what they really needed. I find people spend so much time and effort, and I do not want to say that, and I want to be careful about this. I spent so much money on my daughter's wedding, I had to be very careful. Now, talking about not having a beautiful wedding, but I'm saying spend some time on what is most important. Talk to Jesus. Amen? Make sure that he's present with you. Make sure you know him. Make sure you invite him to your wedding. And you know what happens when you do that? God is waiting to perform a miracle. God does it every... You know God, what he does with marriages? He performs miracles. How do I know? Because many of you have managed to stay together all those years. And it's a miracle. Am I right? It's nothing short of a miracle. I don't know how my wife, I've said it before, I don't know how my wife has, how she could stand me for 36 years. I don't know how. I mean, I've run her all over the place. She's not had a life of her own. Her life has been my life in ministry. It has. Wherever she goes, she has to be the pastor's wife. I didn't marry. I wasn't a pastor when I married her. How has she endured that? It is because the Lord worked a miracle. Amen? He wants to work a miracle for you. I don't know. You may have everything's going fine in your relationship, and that's okay. But if it's not, you know God can even correct that. He can work a miracle even today. Do you believe that? God loves you just that much. He loves you enough that when you invite him to your wedding, he shows up. And then he does something. He works a miracle while he's there. As a story, as I close, forgive me, I've used up too much time, but so be it. I have to go on, press on. I know I shouldn't preach long on communion Sabbath, but I've already done it. But there's a story about a family. The boy's name was Justin. He was 4.5 years old. And he gets into mischief occasionally. And so he got in mischief this time, and his mother put him in the corner. Call that time out. And he didn't like it in time out. You see, because in time out, nobody's paying any attention to you. You feel less important. So Justin couldn't stand it any longer in the corner with timeouts. So Justin screamed out, "I'm running away from home." So his mother heard it. She was a little upset when he said that. So she said, "Okay, you're running away from home? Okay, what do you need? I think you'll need your pajamas." And she started getting out his things. Got his pajamas. "So what else will you need? I think I'll need your, you'll need your coat." So she got out his coat. She just started taking his things out. He's getting wide-eyed right now. But his mother didn't stop there. She went and got her pajamas. She got out her coat. She got out her nightgown. And he saw all this and put all that in the bag. And he said, "Mom, where are you going?" She says, "I'm going with you. I couldn't bear the thought of you being out there by yourself, so I'm running away with you." He said, "Well, what are we going to do with Daddy? Can Daddy come?" "No, Daddy can't come because Daddy has to stay here with your brothers." He said, "Well, can Freddie come?" Freddie was the hamster. He said, "No, Freddie can't come. We're running away together." So she hugged him, she grabbed him, put her arms around him. He looked up at his mother and says, I don't want to run away from home." He says, "I love you, Mom." And she says, "I love you too, Justin." Do you know God loves you? The Bible says in James 4:8, "Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you." God cannot bear to see you run away from Him. He doesn't want you to run away from your family. God is into oneness, not separateness. Don't go. Stay with God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that cares about all aspects of our lives. When we work, when we play, when we recreate, when we go about the common duties of life, you're there and you care. You care about our family. Lord, you are in the midst of families. We thank you, Lord. What would our families be without you? Now strengthen the families here at Fallbrook. Make us strong as families so that you might get the glory from it all. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.